Well, hello. Good evening. Hello. Good morning. Good afternoon. It's the hour of truth. And I hope that all is working well after all of the ups and downs Samantha here has given me fits with this week. So, I have a James Usler on Skype.
Hello, everybody.
Phil Walthall here on my right.
Hello.
Behind me and to my right, we have a visitor from out of town, and Gail has asked to join us as well. And we can kick some stuff back and forth. I know there's some stuff I want to look at. We had some interesting services so far. And James was relating to the, getting pitched in jail for preaching the gospel. Perhaps, he might not have the same attitude that...
I don't think there was any perhaps, Paul. I think my first thought would have been, this isn't fair, or what the crap. But that wasn't Paul.
Our attitudes are not always upright, even though, we say we're trying to serve and please the Lord. It's like when Paul makes a proclamation about we glory in our tribulations. I don't know, man. He might, but I don't know that I'm quite there yet. It is a condition where we are having our minds renewed, as we were talking about in our service. It is necessary for that to occur because they're corrupt. They were corrupted, and they're used to relating to things in an entirely different manner than is safe for us in the Lord. Anything anybody else want to say about anything that has gone before us here today?
Well, you do see the fruit of Paul's obedience to the Lord, even though being thrown into jail.
Well, it's not just obedience to the Lord, but it established, it was the ministering tool.
Absolutely. I mean, you see the jailer, his whole household come to know the Lord.
Absolutely. Now, if I can just remember where I was looking.
Was that 15?
Where was I looking at?
I think Ephesians 1:15, Gail's right. Or like 17.
Well, that's not exactly what I'm looking at. I had a thought cross my mind, and I remember having read something, and I'm looking for that. Let's see. Oh, well, maybe it'll come to me as we progress. I was wanting to look at, because Steve, hit on the prayer in Ephesians 3. And actually, there are two prayers in Ephesians. And... we have to know that those over us have been praying like this for the people under them right along. Davey's been doing this for, 40 years? Been a long time. I don't want to, it's something in that neighborhood. I don't know exactly how long it has been. 72, wasn't it? Something like that. 40 years. So, the first prayer that Paul does is in Ephesians 1. Verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. That's something that everybody here can use, right?
Amen.
Okay. Let me know if anybody who's online, is the audio loud enough? I want to make sure. It looks like I'm hitting the meters decently, so I just want to make sure I'm not. It's not hard to hear. God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. The revelation of the knowledge of him is what Paul really focuses himself on in Philippians 3, is that, you know, to know him, the hope of glory, you know, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That all this other stuff is dumb. The only thing that matters now is that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. These are things that change who you are and, you know, and equip you to be able to serve and please him. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. You know, it's not even possible for you to know any of that without that revelation knowledge and your eyes being opened to be able to see spiritual things and discern them as spiritual.
Paul, and before any of that is possible, back in 15... I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus.
Yeah. So they've been brought to decision-making process, to a decision-making point, and the deal got closed. And they committed themselves to the Lord.
And to the other saints. See, it's really the two-part right there. First the Lord, and second the brethren. And love unto all the saints.
Right. Love one another.
That's right.
And what is the exceeding greatness of this power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? You know, if you haven't seen, your eyes haven't been enlightened, if you haven't seen the greatness of his power towards us, and you know the manifesting of that throws me all the way back into 3:20, which is the end of the second prayer that Steve was focusing on, and we'll get to. I don't know that I can do it better than he did, but I thought we'd at least look at the first one and see where it goes from there. These are some good things, and the being enlightened to what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. We believe because of the working of his mighty power. I mean, this is a truth that gets kind of glossed, skimmed over in the reading of this, which he wrought in Christ. This power was in Christ, and that was the manifestation of it to those who believed along with Paul. And set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, you know, when his ministry here was done, his earthly ministry, and delegated to the apostles, the disciples.
And left them with the Holy Spirit.
Right. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet. And really, this is just an explanation of that exceeding power that was manifested in him. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. That's interesting. It's probably a stunner that the church is his body, not his bride, but interesting. The fullness of him that filleth all in all.
Amen.
That's what his body is supposed to be.
The fullness of him, that's what the body is supposed to be before all the people.
Right. We're to show them how good the Father is.
That's right. Exhibit what it is to
be.
Supposed
to just pick up his ministry and fall.
Yeah.
Run with it. And, you know, there's a lot more explanation here. He gets into three. Going for all this cause. And it's really a great setup. You got... Well, my voice is just not wanting to work. Pardon me.
Do you want me to read for you?
Huh?
Do you want me to read? Just tell me stop. Just tell me stop when you want.
Oh, let's read in the in between. Start in chapter 2, verse 1.
If he had heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me, given me to you were, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore
in chapter 2.
Oh, chapter 2.
Yeah.
Okay.
Verse 1. They don't like my finger.
It doesn't like my finger either. I have an iPad and it's just being a jerk.
Oh, there you go.
Here we go. So start at the top in Ephesians 2?
Yes.
And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience.
Okay. To come to a point where you can actually agree with this, because, you know, when you're children of disobedience, before you come to the Lord, you're just doing what becomes nothing. There's no plan, you know, some kind of good stuff happens to you, some kind of bad stuff happens to you, and you just try to navigate the pits. And, you know, verse 3, did we read verse 3?
Not yet.
Read it.
Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others.
We all had the same affliction.
Yes, absolutely.
This is nothing that in common to everybody that comes to the Lord. They all started in the same place, which is not in a good place.
That's right.
Yeah, you know, he says we.
including himself in that. Even though in another place, in Philippians, he talks about as touching the law perfect.
That's right.
So how can he be lumping himself in with these people like this? Isn't that amazing? Of course, the answer comes further down in Philippians 3. But all that went before is done. Verse 4.
But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together.
That is not the mic, incidentally. You're still going to have to use that.
But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
All right, let's look at that. God is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. You know, Jesus said it himself, greater love hath no man than he lay down his life for his friend. And then you can be my friend if you do what I say. And just the opportunity is better than any of us to do.
Amen.
The richness of his mercy and the love wherewith he loved us was Jesus.
That's right.
Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. And in Christ hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Since that, you know, his work's complete. And this is, you know, if this were a football game, we're at the 2-minute warning and it's 63-0. His work done. There's no, you can't go for the bomb, you know, you can't go for the Hail Mary. It's not going to bail you out. You're going to have to score 9 touchdowns to tie the game up in 2 minutes. It's just, you know, don't happen. So,
no.
In the same sense, well, not really the same sense, but in him, and that completion work, we who have finished our course and run the race, we're sitting in there in right next to it, right alongside of it. In him, we're there. It don't feel like we're there many times, but we're there.
The scripture that comes to mind with that, and hath raised us together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, is what comes to mind is where Jesus says, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. I mean, you know, in the sense
this
of...
This is the object of that overcoming.
Right.
The culmination.
You're standing in him, and he has already done it.
Right.
And by faith you stand in him in the accomplishment of what he has already done.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So because of his grace and his great love, he has included us in that victory. And all we have to do is stand with him. But we always have a choice. We can choose to go stand somewhere else, and it won't be nice. It will be ugly. But that's what we seek to do, is choose to stand in him where we are the victors. Because he
right.
overcame the world.
Next verse.
7. That in the ages to come he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
All right, let's stop there for a second. In the ages to come, he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. That's an interesting phrase. And I don't think it limits the time and space to the time when we're when we die and go to be with him. It the ages to come. How many ages are there to come? Well, there's a 1,000-year reign.
Yeah, that's all I'm thinking of is that.
The ages to come are, you know, if you're the Lord's, there's a lot of ages to come.
Yeah.
So, and just the opportunity to him to show over and over again the exceeding riches of his grace. Amazing. That you can't even comprehend yet.
And what I think of on that front is, you know, when he died for the people, I mean, and died on the cross for sins, that's past, present, and future.
Right.
This is to come from generation to generation to generation. That grace is still there.
And the showing forth of all this stuff. I may have to take a detour.
A detour.
I may take a detour. Let's see what I can find. Where do they stick Psalms in here?
Yeah, they have one of
here
these.
We go.
He didn't like it.
I'm thinking it's here. Let me check.
Oh.
Let's see. And Psalm 100, make a joyful noise in the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth unto all generations. This truth is eternal.
Amen.
Just like, you know, the opportunity for his the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness towards us that will be manifest through the ages. Through the ages. It's interminable. There is no end to it. That's how good it is.
Really?
Right, and it didn't, you know, if you look at it, it didn't start at the cross, it started before the cross.
No, it's
right. Back in Genesis,
absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely.
What I got out of that, too, was this little nugget of hope, and that is, he shapes us, if we but give ourselves to him. He shapes us and makes us into something that he can use.
Yep.
Something redeemable. Something we couldn't do ourselves, because we cannot shape ourselves except in iniquity. That's not the only way we can do it.
The only qualification to be redeemable is to be a sinner. If you're a sinner, you're redeemable.
True. That's
and
true.
His redemption is offered to you when you receive him by faith.
Amen.
So, you know, and that's part of that revelation of his exceeding kindness towards us. It's certainly the beginning of it. for us. It's not the beginning of it for him. Like you said, it started back in the garden.
And he's been doing this for a while.
And then, you know, this takes all the starch out of those who are going after works righteousness. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves.
No.
You didn't do anything to get this.
No. No.
That was a gift. You're given the faith.
That's right.
Where you put it has been irresponsible up until now. You need to put it in Him and trust in Him and receive this manifestation of His kindness that is forever. Forever. Not of works, lest any man should boast. There's nothing to boast in. There's nothing. About me.
You go back where it says, just go up a little bit, because I remember you referring to verse 3 there. It says, among whom also we all had our conversation in the times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling desires of flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And you're talking about how Paul was including himself in that, but, you know, Paul was there. What was he? He said, you know, he said chief of sinners, but he also said in the law blameless. You know, but see, this is where that recognition that in the lust of his flesh, he was trying to fulfill the law himself. He was trying to make himself righteous. That's still a lust of the flesh. That's something I can do. That's something prideful.
The flesh is to just seek to justify yourself by works of righteousness, the works of the law.
Right. And I mean, go either one way. I mean, you know, we think lust of the flesh. We think of, you know, partying, boozing, doing drugs, and, you know, at least that's where my mind goes to. Right. But it's really can go the other end with making yourself righteous or good or perfect or holy. Referring to yourself.
To be good.
And that's another lust of the flesh. You know, so I wanted to bring that in because that kind of quickened me a little bit.
Life's work in there.
Well, exactly. I mean, but she made it all about what you did, not about what Christ did, which her gospel was false.
To justify themselves by their works, whether it's what we talked about in the service, giving. If you're giving because it makes you feel good. It's about you.
Yes. I really did that early on. I would give and give and give and give, and I thought I was doing a good thing. But I was giving, and what I was getting back, I was feeling good about Gail.
Yeah. And you know, the thing is that these people will readily admit that. It's not like they don't seem shamed by that. They're pretty good. They feel pretty good about themselves for that.
They will readily
share that they do it because it makes them feel good.
Yeah. They don't see it as a problem.
Right.
They see it as, you know, a little gravy.
Right.
But there are churches that teach, you know, hey, if you can't go in and do the missionary work, you can show up with your check, you know, and give, and then you can feel good about yourself because you did that.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you know, there's a certain truth. But, you know, it comes from having an attitude, the right heart attitude about it, but that you can partake in the work of Lawrence's out in Africa and the work of Davies over there at the ranch by being forthcoming and giving.
Well, that is in love. The other thing is in self-righteousness.
Right, absolutely. It's not a work of righteousness. That's just an act of love, just an act of agreement and a desire to be a partaker in the things the Lord's doing.
Amen.
Which is an entirely different attitude altogether.
There are times to give, and then there are times not to. And it requires one to look at your motives.
Most of the time we end up giving to the destruction of the receiver.
Yeah, getting it, thwarting the Lord's work.
Right, right.
When he's trying to teach something, and then we go over there and postpone the learning even more.
Right. The discernment, even in that, is necessary. You need, you know, looking at Ephesians, 5, is to like walk circumspectly. Then he's walk in the discernment of the Lord, man. Understand that the stuff that's going on around you is part of a conflict.
Well, we all have someone above us.
In the
check first.
In the heavenlies, there's a war for the souls of Adam, seed.
You know, it's kind of interesting. You're just talking about the giving, having walking circumspectly, and the giving could be to somebody's destruction. And here I go and thinking it's good. And remember that, remember the parable? Or I think it was a parable, or it could have really happened. I don't know, but Jesus is telling it about the son that took all his goods, and he went out, and the prodigal son, he took all his goods and, you know, wasted it as a substance. But, you know, along the way, I mean, he got to the point where he was at the bottom. He was eating the pig's food to just survive. And then, you know, he goes, man, how much does my father have? You know, even his servants are leaving better than this. And he goes back to his father. But what if somebody, you know, gave him a job that where that wasn't the case, and I mean, could hinder his way back to home to his father,
or just gave him a handout?
But it was interesting in that is I remember Steve preaching one time, and it was quite interesting. He was talking about how, you know, before he met the Lord, he would go to homeless people and feed them and all this, and, you know, look how great, you know, good I'm being by feeding this guy. But the guy that went to him with a gun and said, you know, give me all your stuff or I'm going to blow your freaking, you know, head off. And he's here already homeless and, you know, and all these things. And he goes, that one was, and then he goes and cries out to Jesus, and then the police come and these things break it up. And the guy would walk away, you know, recognizing who did the more profitable one. Actually, the guy that was about to commit murder was actually more profitable than he was by giving him the food. I mean, he used that story and then, it, because that caused him to cry out to Jesus. And I'm not saying go do that. That's, don't hear me wrong, but the point of that hindering, there he is giving. He's actually, you know, hindering more than helping, and then, you know, bringing him to the Lord, you know. So, and a guy that has nothing to do with the Lord but just has evil agenda had more of bringing him closer to the Lord than Steve did when he was
there.
I'm not saying
he didn't know.
That was probably the most shocked person in the world.
Well, you know, it's similar to in a household, not in a household that is truly operating according to Christ, but in many households in this country that I know of, Dad comes home, he's trying to teach a lesson. And it's a hard lesson to a child. And Mom, on the other hand, wants to take them aside. Okay, you can't eat dinner before you go to bed. That's your punishment. Well, we can't let you go without, really. And so, sneaks the kid a sandwich. Now that's thwarting that child learning that lesson. And it will come back. You'll get to revisit that. It's similar to that. We can thwart the Lord's will without knowing it. We can just, you know, think that we're trying to make it easier on a brother and sister, or and it's not. We're just in the way.
You're awful quiet over there, James.
Well, you guys talking really reminded me of Davey's service last week about walking after the Spirit, serving God in the Spirit. You can't serve God in the flesh. Yeah, I guess in the sense that if we're, you know, talking about works, we're trying to serve God in the flesh. It becomes about us. And you were talking about discernment, Paul, and that discernment's only going to come if we're walking in the Spirit.
Well, and you recognize your need for it and asking him for it, he'll give it to you. Just, you know, like out of James chapter 1. Who gives to all men liberally. All you got to do is ask. And, you know, jump over to chapter 4 and don't ask amiss. You're not doing this to build yourself up. You're doing this to be able to minister the Lord to other people. Be a more profitable servant.
And we can't do that in the flesh. It's all about us.
That's right.
and the next couple of verses, interesting. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good work, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That one right there is enough to chew on. I don't think I'll join the next one to it just yet. We are his workmanship.
Oh, that beginning of faith and the finishing of our faith, if we cleave to him, that workmanship.
The workmanship where he's creating us into something can be profitable for him and the kingdom.
Amen.
That it was foreordained, it was before ordained that we who come to him should walk in them. This is what we did it for. This is what he did it for. This is, at least in part, why he has called us and joined with us our faith, and we have a task. No. And he was formed in us to please God, to please the Father.
My mind might be going a different direction, and I could be absolutely wrong. I really could be. It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." I didn't know if that was the, you know, elect seed God, you know, Paul and the ones that were elect seed of God, there's what he's talking about there or not. I could be wrong. Where he's talking about, you know, we, you know, because it changes, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh.
You do make a good point. He may just be talking about, however, we're still partaking.
Right, and we can still partake of him. You take an example of Elijah. You know, and you go to Romans, yeah. You know, who make that choice, as Elijah made that choice to believe God, and you know, we can partake of that, of course, absolutely. But I just didn't, you know, I looked at that.
You have a craftsman, and you know, and I'll use George for instance. Is the guy whose designs and craftsmanship, he doesn't necessarily actually build anything, but he takes you under his wing and you learn and become his workmanship unto the work he needs, which is the good work for him, and you know, that's what's going on here. But you become a partaker in the craft that's in his head, in the design and the workmanship that's in his head, by putting it together and making a construction that is useful and sellable, marketable. Even if it's custom, it's still something that they're willing to pay for. So
can I ask a question on this 10? I was just looking up some things here, the workmanship, and then I went to this created. Okay, for we use his workmanship. This created is, let's see, to make habitable to people, place, region, and island, found city, let's see, of God creating the worlds, to form, shape, i.e. to completely change or transform. So his workmanship, we are his workmanship, that he's transforming in Christ Jesus unto good works. These good works seem to be what the sentence it finishes on, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That's the good works, which he's creating out of us who are a mess. Is that...
Well, you know, I would say it even goes back before this, is that we're to walk in that workmanship. He's made it, he's designed us for a thing.
Exactly.
He's designed, and even if it's just the apostles, he designed them for a thing. And we really need to be walking in and partaking in that thing as fully as we can. And there is really no limit to that fullness.
I mean, that's the point of, if it were talking about the apostles here, you know, created
that's
in Christ Jesus, aren't you good works? It's for that people can partake of it. I mean, that's what the point is, you know.
I have this feeling that, it is intended that, we walk in them as well.
That's the point of them walking in it. That's why it was created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
Yep.
That they can walk with them, that others may hear also. I mean,
that's it right there.
Right, going right to 17. That others may walk in them. I mean, did not Jesus prayed for the leaven, and not just for 11, but them that would hear their word.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what this is about. That's why they were created, so that others partake of that same plan of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
I mean, he didn't...
After all...
Right, and it grows.
After all, we're adopted anyway.
Right. And that's the point of it. And that's what I was trying to hit around, get around. But, what was I going to say?
He was working on those disciples the whole time. They didn't come to him a finished, done deal. I mean, they weren't converted, actually, until after he died on the cross.
And the point was, is because, you know, what does it say in John? And when I'm between John, the Epistle John, where he says, you know, and he didn't just, you know, didn't die for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. There was a plan, and that's his plan, and that's how it was designed.
Yeah.
You know.
Kind of like creating the tool, you know, that's going to make, you know, the continuance. He had to create it from scratch so that his word might go forth afterward, after his time here was finished. It was through those 11 it had to go forward. Because they were included if you believed on their word after they'd believed on his word, after he'd believed on the Father's word. See, it's very linear that way, you know, pretty easy to see.
All right, let's pick up the pace here. We need to pick up the pace a little bit. Wherefore, remember that ye being in times past Gentiles, in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now,
kind of goes on what we were kind of talking about, how it's the passing on over here.
The concept of having no hope and being without God in this world is, you know, even that's a revelation of the Lord, because most people have no concept that's the case. Even their hopelessness, because they have no knowledge.
Well, the words stand out. Strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God.
Yep.
You know, those are all frightful, awful things.
But now, in Christ Jesus, you were sometimes far off, made nigh by the blood of Christ. Now you've been brought near, because the blood of Christ has given you entrance.
Amen.
For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. He rent the veil. Veil, yeah. Good thing you were there to remember that word, because I would have been here another week trying to come up with that word. I was going to give it a curtain or drape or something, but it's never going to be a veil.
That's soul and spirit being able to be reconnected again.
Yeah.
There's not that there's not that division. It's reconnected. It's grafted in.
Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Having abolished in his flesh the law of commandments contained in ordinances. In other words, he fulfilled the law. And he took two and made one, making peace. And he that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. He's slain the enmity. That's amazing.
He defeated it, took it
out of the way. So you don't have to be at enmity with God anymore. The enmity has been slain by receiving the blood of Christ. That's you know how good this is. And came and preached peace to you which were far off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God. Well, praise God. That's the culmination. That's the deliverance from darkness into light, from
being bound to the flesh. Right.
Well, and came and preached peace to you which were far off, and to them that were nigh. You know that. For through him, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. You know, that is the way. Well, for myself, having been out there after being a baby Christian for, 25 years, you know, then being at odds with God because I shook my fist at him, and then finding out, you know, that there's nothing to fill that hole in your spirit there where you're cut off from the Lord. And,
well, you know,
knowing full well that I was a walking dead man, I mean, or woman, but a walking dead.
The idea, the concept
hopeless.
Of both being one.
Yeah.
We've seen that now, two or three times here. What are the both? What are the both that he's talking about?
Well, you know, what you
circumcised
said...
Circumcised and uncircumcised.
What you...
Oh, well, that's the Jews and then the Gentiles being
grafted in.
Available
to both.
That's right. That's right.
Both can be made one. His one. Okay. Where were we? Okay, 20. And are built up... built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord. In whom ye are also builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. And I'm just going to read to make the connection here because we're running out of time. For this cause I, Paul the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for the cause we were just talking about. What all has been going on here. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you, how that by revelation he's made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Whereby when ye read ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, and is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. The Gentiles are adopted into the children of Abraham.
That's right. And all can be, well, we would all be
and this, this
his
is
body.
Still a mystery today, but you know, he's explaining this mystery. It's the whole lot, the whole concept of having no blood.
I see.
And no claim to anything to the things of God. We can yet receive it by faith.
Amen.
And become partakers, fellow heirs, even in the promise that is in Christ Jesus by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. In other words, that's a manifestation of the power of the gospel operating in Paul. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. That's the unsearchable riches of Christ. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Now the syntax here is a bit messed up. The intent that now principalities and powers in heavenly places and the manifold wisdom of God might be known by the church.
So you're going to explain what manifold wisdom is? Manifold, let me say.
The extent that now under the church.
Marked with a great variety of colors. Such as, it says manifold is, here it is. Much variegated, marked with a great variety of colors. Much varied, manifold. So,
well, it's part of the unsearchable riches of Christ.
But I mean, and you're talking about the both the circumcision and the uncircumcision can both be brought together in the body of Christ,
right,
and be His. So, and it's
according to the according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him.
Amen.
Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. We have a couple of minutes here. Let's try to make it through here. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here we begin another prayer. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Everybody needs that. They may not see that they need that, but they need that. A truth. It is by His strength and not by our own that we're able to please Him.
Mm-hmm.
That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you be being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you may know that which is so big it can't be known, is really what we're talking about here. Because he's able to reveal it. But you, and just in the knowledge of man, are not going to be able to comprehend it. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. We need to know the love of Christ.
Amen.
And it's unknowable apart from Christ. But, you know, that's this is how you pray for people in the body. This is how it's done here. Now unto him that is able to do. Did I miss something? And to know the love of Christ, now with passing knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Isn't this all what we were talking about here? Goodness and mercy being from age to age to age, and it just, you know, none of it goes away. It's so full and it's so complete that it extends forever.
Amen.
And this is a better deal than we could have ever comprehended, that he's given to us by his outreached hand when we just received it by faith. It's we can't fathom. We don't have the ability to think or ask and because we don't understand the fullness and the length and breadth and depth. It's bigger and it's more than we could even fathom. That's the goodness of our Lord. I want to stay as plugged into the goodness of our Lord as possible. I thank God for those.